I titled this message, 66 in 360. Can I hear you say that? 66 in 360. I was 18 years old when I arrived in Dallas, Texas, after truly a gruesome 20-plus hour drive. I was, at that time, in an emotional, mental, relational, financial, educational, legal, spiritual mess. I'll spare you the details, but needless to say, I was not in a good place. I needed help, and I knew that something needed to change. Or maybe I should say better yet, someone needed to change, and that someone was me. But how? How? Change is a difficult thing, isn't it? You know, if you were to do a search on the internet, just the simple search with this title, How to Change Yourself, there was 1.8 million results in about 0.35 seconds that came back, and there was a list of suggestions, such as how to change yourself in positive ways, or four simple ways to change yourself, or how to change yourself completely in 13 steps, or how to change yourself, my secret for personal growth and change. If you want to change the world, here was another title. First, change your steps. I'm sorry, first change yourself in four steps. In the U.S., when it comes to self-improvement, I don't know if you know this, but it's worth about $9.9 billion. That is, that business creates about $9.9 billion. It was starting to be tracked in 2016, and it's forecast to post a 5.6% average yearly gain until 2022. And they suppose that the market's going to be about $13.2 billion at that time. And then, according to statistics, Americans are unhappier now than I was 18. It's hard to believe, but if you were to do the research, Americans tend to be very unhappy people. And yet we have so much. Why so unhappy? I know what it's like to live in a state of progressive and constant internal unhappiness and misery. You know, shortly after that time in my life, when I was 18, a positive change came. You know, the years that have followed since I made a commitment to Christ, and that's what really brought the positive change, was when I went to Dallas, Texas, I received a gift, and it was one of the greatest gifts that I ever received, and that was a Bible. My brother, he gave me this gift on my arrival, my brother Mike. And that gift would be what triggered the wonderful journey through lasting change. It's been 31 years. 31 years of lasting change. And I'll tell you honestly, I am happier today than ever. Now, God is not into making us happy. We understand that happiness is really based on circumstances, but God does bring joy to our life. And there's nothing greater than experience the joy or the blessedness, or the word blessed means, oh, how happy. As the scripture says in Psalm 1, oh, how happy is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scoffer. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the streams of living water, who produces its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. That's what the Word of God says. That those who walk in the counsel of God are blessed and happy. You know, when it comes to being blessed and rather experience change in life, there's no doubt that the Bible can change any person's life, and it really only requires two simple things. I don't know if you know what they are. You might have your own way of expressing it. I would imagine most of you know, but for those of you who don't, the two simple things are this. It's the Bible coupled with faith. Because you can have the Bible and it does nothing for you. But man, once you couple faith with the Word of God, transformation takes place. And I'll never forget, I started to read that Bible every night. And when I first got to Texas, I'll tell you, I was hard, I was hurting, I was a mess inside. But every night, I wouldn't say anything to my brother, or I really, you know, kind of didn't want to talk about spiritual things. I was just, at first, initially, just really hurting and... But every night I started to read that Bible. And as I read the Bible and kept reading the Bible, one day the Lord spoke to me. Now, it wasn't an audible voice. It wasn't like the Lord appeared to me. I was in the room in his house. They were kind enough to let me have a bedroom. And it was a very small room, like maybe 9 by 9, 9 by 10. But in that room, on, I believe it was just two mattresses, you know, on the floor. And at 18, you know the room was a mess. And just me in that mess, internally in that room, I was reading the Bible and I felt the presence of God. And it was so strong, and I felt conviction. I didn't feel condemned. And let me tell you, I have done a lot of things before Christ that some things I wouldn't tell a soul because I feel so embarrassed and just I can't believe some of the things that I've done. But I didn't feel condemned, and I just felt the love of Christ in that room. I could explain it much better now than I could then, but I felt the love of Christ, and it was so powerful and so strong. And I just remember praying, and I didn't even know really how to pray at that time. And I just remember praying, God, I want you to be real in my life. I mean, I heard about God. I have a family that many of my siblings were becoming born-again Christians, and or becoming, I should just say, born again. And so I had heard about Jesus, but it was far. It was something that just was distant to me. God, the whole thought of God, that was just so distant, so far, and I just felt like I could never meet up. And so there was a great disconnect. But on that night, I just said, God, forgive me. Forgive me of my sins. And I felt the love of God, and I felt conviction, and I felt that God wanted to use my life, and that God, he loved me, and he was merciful and gracious. And boy, he is. He is to anyone. I'm no special person. Anybody who knows me well, you know I am not a special person. But he just loves anyone who will turn to him. And I started to couple faith. I started to just simply believe what he said and act on it. And as I started to do that, change started to take place. You know, I'm not the only one. There's so many people. I have a video that I want to show you. And it's about a guy who, well, I'll let him tell you his story. It's short. Let's go ahead and play the video.
I was the son of a Baptist minister, and I really grew to resent that. So by the time I was 16, I started to really experiment with drugs and alcohol. I had a smartphone at the time, and I was looking at apps I could download, and I found this app called the Bible app. I thought to myself, you know, I've always wanted to read through the Bible, so I started a reading plan, and I felt like when I read it, it was speaking to me instead of me just reading the pages of a book. And I remember laying in my bed and just telling Jesus I wanted him to be the Lord of my life. That was the beginning of a whole new life for me. I thought that I was going to be reading a book, but as it turns out, it's not just recorded history. It's not just a bunch of stories that teach you how to be moral. It's something that gets inside you and changes you from the inside out.
Now, how many of you have that same testimony? Raise your hand. Go ahead. Raise your hand. Right? So many of us have been impacted by the Word of God once we coupled it with faith. And we are radically different people. We are forever changed. And what I love is that anyone can couple faith with the teachings of the Scripture. Anyone. There's no one that, you know, just for whatever reason can't couple faith with the teachings of the Bible. Anyone. There's no sin that should hinder anyone from turning to Christ. There's nothing. There's no past that should hinder anyone. Even if you're a believer here today and you've blown it big, there's people like Peter in the Bible, the Apostle Peter, but before Christ's death, right before his death, he blew it big. He blew it huge. He denied the Lord. And he was sorry for what he did. And we learn from Peter's mistake and his sin of denying Christ that when we blow it big, God's grace is so much bigger. And so there's really no reason why anyone can couple faith with the Word of God. And you know what else I love? You know, people spend so much money on self-help books. People spend so much money going to seminars. What I love is the Word of God is free. The Word of God is free. The most valuable thing that there is on this planet, the Word of God, and it's free. And if any of you need a Bible, I'll give you one. There's Bibles at the back table. You can take one. If you don't like that Bible, within reason, I'll get you a Bible you like, because Bibles can be expensive, but it'll be free to you. And I'm serious. You see me after church, we'll get you a Bible. And I love how the Word of God is free, you know. And so today I've titled the message 66 in 360. And really, it's a challenge. I want us to take this challenge as a church. You know, today is the first Sunday in 2019. It's the first of 152 Sundays. Here's another little challenge. 52 Sundays in 1 year. Do you think you can make every single one?
Yes.
All right. And I hope that everyone feels the same way. I hope you speak for everyone here. I mean, I know that there are some reasons at times we can't be to church, and it shouldn't be a legalistic thing, but I want to challenge you for this year, 2019, make it to church every single Sunday, unless you're sick. Change your schedule. Do whatever you have to do and make going to church, coming to church as an act of worship, your priority. I guarantee you, when you put God first, God will honor that. And so here we got, you know, 51 more Sundays to go, and looking forward through this new year, I would like each of us to commit to reading the 66 books of the Bible in 360. Because there's about 360 days between now and January 1st, 2020. Can you believe it? And 360, who knows? Maybe if you start reading the Bible every single day, you'll have a real good turnaround in your life. You'll do a 360, so to speak. And so I wanted to share this before we get into some scriptures. According to a study, the study was entitled The Bible in American Life. Listen to this. And this was conducted by the Center for the Study of Religion and American Culture. 50% of Americans read some form of scripture in the past year. And so in the past year, 50% have read some form of scripture, whether it was in a daily bread or in some book or somewhere. 50% of Christians. Then it says, and of 48 of that percent, people read the Bible. So about 2% used other books and sources to get their scripture input. 48% of those 50% used the Bible. Now listen to this. 4 in 5 read it at least once a month. Now the truth is out. The truth is out, and all of us are guilty. Because 4 in 5 read the Bible at least once a month. I mean, so look around. Go ahead, look at each other. Look around the room. 4 of you in a group of 5 read the Bible once a month. Well, I shouldn't say that. I don't know, but there's a chance. And then even more startling, 9% of Americans, 9% say they read the Bible every day. 9%. You know, people read the Bible for different reasons. 72% of those that were polled read the Bible for prayer and devotion. 62%, and we're talking about, you know, those who may consider themselves to be Christians. 62% to learn about religion. 44% for personal relationship decisions. Should I date him, God, or should I not? You know. 36 to learn about health and healing. 23 to learn about poverty or war. 22 to learn about obtaining wealth. And 21 to learn about abortion or homosexuality. These are some of the reasons, perhaps some of the top reasons of those that were polled. Now listen to this. Women are more likely than men to read scripture. So you ladies, you men. Older people were more likely to read than younger people. All right, you seasoned saints. You younger people. Southerners, more likely to read those of any other region. So that we're all in trouble there. And African Americans were more likely to read the Bible than those of any other race. Yeah. Yeah. So we got a lot to learn. Now, one thing I'd like us to think about is this. It's very possible that only 9% of us here at New Beginnings read the Bible on a daily basis. And I want to change that. I really want to change that with your help. I think we can change that, and that's why I want to give us this challenge. And in a few minutes, I'm going to give you some tools to do 66 books in 360 days. Now, I want to see us as a church become 100% daily Bible readers, because I know the impact that that will have in our lives. And so I want to encourage us, because if there's a time for God's people to be in the Word, it's to be in the Word more now than ever. And not only be in the Word, but to be daily readers. Give us this day our daily bread. That's what the Lord taught us to pray. We're living in the last days, and in our generation, there's really absolutely no reason. There's no reason why we can't read the Bible every single day. The gentleman there was reading it on a mobile device. All of you, or most of you, have some kind of mobile device, maybe a phone, a tablet, or maybe you have not a mobile device, but you have a desktop or a laptop that you have stationary in your office at home. But there's really no reason. I can't tell you the amount of Bibles that I actually own. I have one drawer in my office with about four or five different Bibles. Then I can't tell you how many Bibles I have at home. And then on my laptop, I have more Bibles than... There's Bibles in languages I don't even know. And yet I have all these Bibles. Greek and Hebrew and different... I'll never read because I don't know the language. My point is there's such a wealth of God's Word, and yet I believe that among many of us, statistics say that very few of us read it on a daily basis. And so what I would like to do is I'd like to look at the Word of God and answer just two simple questions. Two simple questions, and then give you a plan for 66 and 360. The first of the two questions is this. How does God value His Word? Do you value what God values? And if the answer is yes, then how does God value His Word? So for that, I want to draw your attention to Psalm 138, verse 2. If anyone needs a Bible, just raise your hand. One of the ushers will bring them right to you. If you don't own a Bible and you want that one, you go ahead and keep it. It's yours. But we're looking at Psalm 138, verse 2. And listen to what God says. This is the psalmist writing, but certainly it's inspired by the Lord. And the psalmist, he learned this. He learned this lesson. And he must have learned it by the Lord himself, just spending time with the Lord and seeking God's face. And the Lord must have communicated to him as he was an inspired individual. And under the inspiration of God, he says in verse 2 of Psalm 138, I will worship towards your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. And then he tells us, for you have magnified your word above all your name. So God himself magnifies his word above his name. And it says above all your name. You know how many names are revealed in the scriptures of God? Jehovah Jireh, Emmanuel, Jehovah Nisi. I mean, there are so many different names. And these names, they all represent and they teach us about what God does or who God is, his nature. And yet, he says that he magnifies his word even above his name. Jehovah, or Jesus is Jehovah, or Yeshua. And we understand that Yeshua means the Lord saves, or the Lord is salvation. And he magnifies his word above his name. And so he esteems his word very high. And then in Isaiah chapter 42, verse 21, here the prophet tells us, the Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. And then he tells us, he will exalt the law and make it honorable. He exalts his law. He esteems it. And everyone, there's going to come a time when Jesus establishes his kingdom. Everybody will follow his word. And think of this for a minute. Think of how beautiful it is to obey the word of God. And for those of you, for those of us, we do life together, right? We do life. We live with people who obey the word of God. There's been so many times when I've had folks from the church over to my house, and I could have my wallet out on the table, and I have no worries. No one has ever stolen from me, not a single Christian. Now, before I came to Christ, I had friends that I grew up with. They stole from me. But even Christians that I barely knew, you know, people never taken advantage of my wife. No one's taken advantage. Before I knew Christ, people would hit on her. She's a cute thing. And she's beautiful. Friends get a couple beers in them, and then their true feelings come out. Perverts. In the church, I don't worry about that. Not too much. I'm Puerto Rican, so I got a jealous streak in me. God's working on me. So you guys, be careful. But my point is that imagine a whole society. Imagine everyone. Imagine your neighbors obeying the word of God. All your neighbors. Imagine if the government, if everyone obeyed the word of God. Imagine if the workplace, wherever you, Walmart, everywhere. Imagine if everyone obeyed. This world would be such a wonderful place. It would. But there's going to come a day when that's going to take place, and it's going to be wonderful. And so God esteems his word. He values his word very highly, and so should we. Now, the second question is this: how important was the Bible to its writers? And so I want to draw your attention to Job chapter 23, verse 12. Job chapter 23, verse 12. Now, pretty much most of us know the story of Job. Job was a man who loved God, and God had blessed him abundantly, and then I don't want to get into all the details. We don't have time. But Job proved that regardless of what anyone or what the adversary could do to him, Job proved that his love for God was genuine. It wasn't just because of the blessings of God. It was a genuine love for God. Regardless, God, of what you allow in my life, I love you and I will not forsake you. Job is a great example to us. Job is a great example that anyone, no matter what we go through, no matter what God allows into our life, we have to know that the nature of God is always good. And so no matter what God allows into our life or no matter what happens, it's such a beautiful thing to have an example that, you know what, regardless of what happens, God, I love you and I'm going to live for you, whether it's in my life or even in my death. Job is that kind of example. Now, here in verse 12 of Job 23, listen to what Job says. This is how the writers of the scriptures who were inspired by God valued the word of God. I have not departed from the commandments of his lips. You know, some people go through trouble, and after they go through some trouble, they depart from the word of God. And Job, if any of you are going through some trouble, read the book of Job. Because there's no way you might have gone through some trouble, but Job has gone through so much trouble. I don't know if anyone compares. Now, I don't want to minimize your trouble. I just want to encourage you. Start reading the book of Job, and you may be comforted by his example and encouraged. But he says, I have not departed from the commandments of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. In other words, God, I value your word more than eating. I'd rather have your word and not have anything to eat than to eat and not have your word. I mean, your word means more to me than physical nourishment. In other words, your word is life to me. And then look at Psalm 119, 103. Here the psalmist in Psalm 119, 103, he says, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Here the psalmist, he found the word to be sweet. Some people have said that when Jews were young, before they could read, that their parents would put honey on the Bible and just bring the Bible and have the kids lick up the honey so that they would associate the word of God with something that's sweet. I don't know if that's true or not, but I've heard that. But nevertheless, here the psalmist does say that he found the word of God to be something that was so sweet, delightful. And then look at Psalm 119, verse 127. He says, "Therefore I love your commandments more than gold, yes, than fine gold." So I value this, the scriptures tell us, your word more than food. It's sweet to me. I value your word more than money. Even the finest of gold, what's more valuable, what's the most valuable in this world, I value your word more than anything of value in this world. Now, I'm not going to have you turning back and forth at this point so we can move forward quickly. You could write these scriptures down if you'd like to. But Job, he said this in Job 22:22, "Receive, please, instruction from his mouth, and lay up his words in your heart." And this is almost like a personal prayer. Here, Job is saying, hey, take God's word and treasure it in your heart. Value it. And you can make that a personal prayer. We can make that a personal prayer, our personal prayer, our personal daily prayer for 2019, where we could say, God, I'm going to value your word. I'm going to treasure it in my heart. And every day, I'm going to spend time in your word. Every single day. And then Psalm 19, listen to what the psalmist says in verse 11. He says, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." The word, when coupled with faith, enables people to overcome sin. And then in Psalm 19, verse 9, it says, "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." The word of God is true. These aren't fictitious things that were made up. This word of God, the Bible that we hold, these are facts. These are truths. These are things that are to be held in high esteem and know that as we apply them, they work because it's God's word. It's, in a sense, this book is a book of prescriptions. It's a book of encouragement, but it's a book of prescriptions. How many of you have taken your prescriptions this week? How many of you take daily prescriptions, right? Some of you, you don't have to raise your hands, but some of you take daily prescriptions, don't you? And this is really a prescription. The word of God has so many prescriptions to help us do this life. And then Jeremiah 15:16 says, "Your words were found and I ate them." And listen to what he says, "And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." In other words, in Jeremiah, if you know much about him, Jeremiah, what is he called? What is he known as? The weeping prophet. And so for a person who's weeping, they must be pretty depressed or overcome with anxiety, overcome with different internal struggles. And here, Jeremiah, he says that a remedy for my depression was the word of God. It brought joy to my life. Some of you maybe need joy. And you want to be happy. You want your life to change. And it's right there. You probably own 15 copies, but you don't use them. You don't read them. You don't couple with faith the Word of God that you already have. It's right there for you to utilize. But I guarantee if you start utilizing the Word of God daily, you'll see when you couple it with faith, joy and change that takes place in your life. And then lastly, there's two more scriptures I want to share with you. This is 1 Peter 2:2. Peter, he says, listen, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. You know, we have four kids, and when they were babies, they wanted to be fed like every 2 hours. And I was so tired of watching Nina get up every night and taking care of the kids. And she was awesome as a mom taking care of those little babies, and she breastfed the kids, and they would want to eat, you know, regularly. And here, this is what Peter says. He says, hey, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. A lot of people don't grow because they're not in the word. And then Jesus, he said this, kind of putting the period on this. He says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This is what Jesus tells us, our Savior. We should live on the Word of God. Every word, not just some of it, every single word. So what I want to do is I tried to make this simple. I spent quite a bit of time to make it simple for us. I want to challenge us, myself included, to start a Bible reading program. And I had Craig put a link on our homepage, and I had Tony put our homepage here on the screens. So you could see where that little red oval, circle or oval is. You click on that little link, and you're going to get the reading plan, your reading plan, my reading plan, our reading plan for January. So you click it, and you just start. We got some catch-up to do because we're starting on the sixth day, but that's what the reading plan looks like. Tell you what, why don't you right now, you can go there right now. In church, you could use your device. Go ahead. I'm really serious about this. This is not a message that I want us to take and just, you know, oh boy, here I get encouraged to read the Bible. I don't want to read the Bible. I just want to come to church and hear it. Now, I really would like for us to take this serious. You can go to our website, you can download it, put it on your phone, and follow it. And then every week, I'm going to try my best to every week incorporate the reading, at least some of the verses from our reading plan, and we'll read them together every single Sunday. And so I want to hold us accountable, and I want for us to just start and see this all the way through. And then every month, I'll update the new month a week or so before and remind you that it's up there and just to grab it. Now, if you don't have a computer or a device, we printed some out and they're at the info table. So that way you can just grab a sheet. Tony, you have one in your hand? Tony McLaren, is that you? Oh, you just, okay, so there it is. Go ahead and no, we're not going to give it up, but just show. So it just has, can I see it? These are not my words. This is the words of another pastor who I don't know, but I share these same sentiments. So I'm going to share them as if they are my words. And so I want to invite each of you to join with me to read through the Bible this year as a church family. As we take this journey together, it will take us across hundreds of years of history. We will witness incredible and miraculous deeds of God's people, of God and his people. This journey will lift our spirits through inspiring poetry, love stories, and words of wisdom. It will challenge us with insightful lessons for life. It is a journey into the very heart and mind of God. So I pray that you will join me this year with this year-long journey as we read the Bible together. How many of you can say, I'm in? I'm in. How many? I mean, I really want you to be in. I want to see every hand. I want to see us in. And I'm just so blessed, and I say yes and amen. And so what we're going to do is I'm going to give this back to you. If when you go out in the lobby, what we're going to do if when you go out in the lobby, if they're all gone and you can't access a copy online, just see me or see Tony, Cintron, and we'll make sure we get a copy for you. Oh, and it's posted on Facebook. So really, we're trying to make this super easy. And let's read it together, you know, let's stick with, it starts with John, the first book of John, and let's just stick with it and go through it. And I guarantee you, I'm looking forward to God pouring out his blessings over all of our lives as we commit to reading his word every day.